It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
You want a shot at playing in late October?
You got to start talking now.
The Miami Marlins Hot Stove Show
with Kyle Seeloff,
driven by AutoNation, is on 940 Wins,
Miami Sports.
Well, we are back on a Tuesday for the final time this winter. Thanks for tuning in to the Marlins Hot Stove Show tonight, driven by AutoNation. It is Tuesday, February 16th. I'm Kyle Seeloff. Thanks for joining us tonight. And all off season long, I really do appreciate it. This is our final show tonight. But that's good news because pitchers and catchers are scheduled to report tomorrow. The first full session in Jupiter will be on Thursday. My goodness, it's exciting, folks. Baseball is back. We got through a long winter. Although we're pretty happy down here in South Florida. It's been 85 and sunny for the past week, and I think the rest of the country is blanketed in about 6 to 12 inches of snow, and it's about 4 below zero. So I know the winter probably dragged out a little longer for some as opposed to others. I think we're going to get a cold spell here in a couple of days. It's going to dip down to the low 70s. But hang in there. We're going to get through this together. Tonight, Marlins manager Don Mattingly will join me. And in just a minute or two, and throughout the course of the show tonight, I'm going to play for you a couple of highlights, and I really want this to guide the show tonight. From yesterday's press conference with Marlins principal owner Bruce Sherman and Marlins CEO Derek Jeter, it's an annual to-do. Both Bruce and Derek did speak yesterday. There was a lot to pick apart, a lot to dissect from it. About 45 minutes to an hour with 50 to 60 local South Florida media members, along with national media members, TV and radio. Went a lot of different directions, but I've picked some of the best that I think out of it. We'll take a look at it. We'll listen back to it, and we'll take it from there. As always, if you want to chat a little baseball, last chance to do so here on the Hot Stove Show. Marlins questions, comments, concerns, give us a call, 866-801-0940. Again, 866-801-0940. Right with you up until the 6 o'clock hour tonight. But after tonight, folks, baby, it's go time. I guess come tomorrow we can officially say game on, and let's get this show on the road in 2021. Don't forget, if you're ready to buy a new car, you can get New Year savings right now. It's interesting, right? February 16th, New Year. Well, here we go. New Year savings at AutoNation. If you're ready to sell your car, they're really good people. AutoNation makes it as easy as ABC. A, any AutoNation store. B, bring in your car. C, get a check on the spot. They're going to buy your car, whether you buy theirs or not. You'll get a check on the spot in as fast as 30 minutes. You can turn it into cash right now. Sell your car fast at AutoNation. Visit AutoNation.com. The Marlins have made a ton of moves this winter. They have shored up the bullpen. I can't wait to ask Donnie about the bullpen. I think he's probably pretty darn excited about it. They've got, apparently, listen, a lot of articles out there. They might be underrated. They're flying under the radar. A lot of good starting rotations out there. Terrific article, MLB.com today said, might be the most underrated starting staff in all of Major League Baseball. You give me an outfield, I would imagine this Adam Duvall news has got to be coming down the line sometime soon, and that's going to be official. Starling Marte, Corey Dickerson, Adam Duvall in the outfield, Cooper and Aguilar at first, second base up in the air, Chisholm or Diaz. You like Miggy, you know what he's going to do at the plate. It's short. Andy's primed in 162-game season, in my opinion. That's a guy that's going to hit you 25 bombs, drive in 85 to 90 runs with a good supporting cast around him. Again, love what they have on the mound. Can Jorge Alfaro turn it around? Can he be the catcher of the future? That remains to be seen. But look, you put it all together, I know people are going to sit here and say, well, how are you going to beat the Mets and the Braves and the Nationals and Phillies? Listen, they did it last year. I know those teams have retooled a little bit and they've reloaded. But, you know, Don Mattingly gets these guys to play hard. You know, there is a winning culture that has started to be instilled here in Miami. You can see it. They're not going to get pushed over. How can you with this starting staff? I think they've got enough offense. Let's see how it plays out. You got to stay healthy. But a lot of people ready to count the Marlins out because of everything else that everybody's done at the National League East. And I'm just not ready to do it. Okay, let's start. here is Marlins principal owner Bruce Sherman, some opening comments yesterday afternoon.
Thank you. I'd like to thank everybody for taking the time to meet today under these unusual circumstances. I know we're all looking forward to the upcoming season and welcoming fans back to the ballpark. I think that's going to be very exciting in our 162-game season. I'm especially excited to see all our young talent. Want to build on what we accomplished last year. I think we were all pleased. I was personally extraordinarily excited to attend all those playoff games. Especially excited, Donnie winning the National League Manager of the Year Award, well deserved. A very exciting time under very unusual circumstances. We made some great moves in the offseason. As you're all aware, we bolstered our bullpen. We think our bullpen was effective last year. We think it'll be even better this year. We've added a big bat in Adam Duvall just recently. And it'll continue to be a competition in spring training for the 26-man roster. And 40-man roster, as you know, is pretty much set. I want to take a special moment to really thank and send our appreciation to everybody at the club, all the management and all the workers who did so much to allow us to be a big component of the community success, allowing the ballpark to be used effectively, allowing the healthcare workers to be effective and to be a real citizen to the greater South Florida area, which I've moved to this year, and as well as to contribute to the Miami community. So again, I want to thank you. I hope you don't, this is the last year we have to meet like this, and I'll turn it back over.
Well, that was Marlins principal owner Bruce Sherman yesterday afternoon. More with Bruce coming up in just a couple of minutes. I thought it was especially nice there at the end. I don't think people realized just how much went into this thing last year to get this thing off the ground, get players on the field. It all brought us a little joy for 3 hours a night amidst everything that's going on. But that was Marlins principal owner Bruce Sherman. And turning things over to the field now, here's Marlins CEO Derek Jeter. He was asked if they feel like they've accomplished what they set out to do this offseason about 4 months ago.
Yeah, I think, you know, I know Kim is talking, are going to speak in a couple of days here. But, you know, our number one priority, I think, going into the offseason was to make sure that we added to our bullpen. That's the way we looked at it. That's the way we approached the offseason. And we were able to do that. We were, like Bruce mentioned, we did add a bat. But, you know, at the same time, it's what I've told you guys for the 3 years that we've been here. You know, we have a plan to build this organization. We're going to stick to that plan. And we also want to make sure that our young players get an opportunity to continue to develop. I've said this before, but I think one thing, you know, going through this pandemic that a lot of people lose sight of is the fact that there was no minor league season. And we need our guys to continue to go out there and improve and play games and get at bats and pitch innings. And, you know, we're looking forward to not only getting this season underway at the major league level, but also getting back, you know, our guys to the minor league season so they can continue to develop.
A couple of things there from Derek. A priority in primarily this offseason, the focus was on the bullpen. A bullpen that did a nice job last year. I mean, all things considered, when they had to piece that sucker together, go to Baltimore, go on a run and get to the playoffs. But heading in to the season now, if you tell me, and I know there's no gaudy name, folks. Look, I get it. I know people want to see the Archie Bradleys and the big names. But Anthony Bass. Good track record. Richard Bleier did a nice job last year. Adam Simber, Ross Detweiler. You know, you start Jimmy Garcia, recently Dylan Floro. These are all guys that have established themselves in the major leagues. You know, and over the course of a 6.5-month grind, and I'm not just sitting here trying to talk myself into it. If you have, like, reliable veteran arms, a bunch of different weird looks out there between these guys, by the way, and strike throwers, you know, are they all going to be great every single game? No. Are they going to blow saves? Yeah. But are they going to save your butt some games and they're going to get length out of guys because they're crafty and they know how to get outs in the major leagues? Yeah. And if you can do that over the course of 6.5 months, I promise you, you're going to be in really good shape and you're going to be in the thick of things come September. And the other point Derek made, and I know we've heard a lot about the process in building and that this year is about development. And I know the focus is always in the major league level, and what do you got to do to win a World Series trophy? That's always the primary goal. But I promise you this, the baseball operations department is going to have a very, very close eye as to what's happening down in the minor leagues this year after what amounted to be a lost season throughout all of Major League Baseball in 2020 at the minor league level. There was just no development. They had camps, and they did their fall camps, and they had the alternate training sites where guys were getting work in, but you just can't make up for games, a lot of them, 140 of them. There's one thing to be in shape. It's another thing to be in baseball shape. So with that being said, Derek was asked about the timeline. And coming on off the heels of the organization's first postseason appearance in 17 years, he was asked, and a good question, has the timeline and the process sped up after that postseason birth last year?
No, it doesn't change anything. You know, I said it from when we first got here that, you know, as a team and as a professional player, every single time you take the field, you have an opportunity to win. I know a lot of people looked at me like I was crazy when I said it, but you know, the thing that I've enjoyed watching and seeing is the, you know, the confidence level of the players in our organization, not just in Miami, but throughout our system. When they take the field, they expect to compete and they expect to win. And I think, you know, our players last year got a little bit of taste of it. And, you know, you could tell that their confidence level started to rise. They started to believe that they can compete with anyone and made a little progress, got to the postseason. I think we're happy with the progress that we made, but we're not happy with how the season finished. So I think we just, you know, got to continue with that mindset, and it's become contagious and it's become infectious throughout the entire organization.
Oh, no question. Progress was made. Certainly not satisfied with the outcome last year. How can you be if you're not the last team standing? Totally understandable. One thing Derek pointed out, and I do think you started to see it last year, and I'll just echo those sentiments. I don't know, and I can't pinpoint at what time it was, but it probably wasn't just a particular win. But when you start to string them together, and I know they got behind the rallying cry of bottom feeders and why not us, but there was a point where you got the sense that something's different now, because they're believing, because there's a lot of guys, a lot of individuals in Major League Baseball, and it probably gets to the point where it becomes organization-wide, where if you don't have that mentality and that confidence, you have zero chance. And by zero, I mean literally zero. You're not going to go out there and win. You're not going anywhere. You're playing 162 games, and then you're going to make your reservations on the golf course when the season's over because you're not going to the playoffs. And that's the cold, hard truth. So I do really think a lot of that playoff run last year, and for this organization, there was a budding confidence, and you couple that with people constantly not wanting to give them a chance. They think they stink. They think they're not going to win. They think they're the joke of baseball. And I don't know at what point it was, and I'd love to ask Miguel Rojas or one of those guys, but when did it turn? And when did it, in the clubhouse, it's, we're going to give it our all tonight. We'll see what the outcome is. But rather, at first pitch, let's pick up a win. Let's keep this thing going, and let's get to the postseason. Before we go to break, Bruce Sherman now, what does success look like to him in year four?
On both sides, continue to make progress. I think we're about to make progress in our media. We're going to make progress in fans, especially coming up last year. And the baseball, we continue to make progress. You know, neither Derek or I know what it would have been like to have some of those Cub playoff games in Miami. That might have been a lot of fun. We didn't experience it, and our fans not to experience. It's kind of strange watching that game with just Derek and I in a box, you know, 200 feet from the field. I mean, it was different. Even Atlanta didn't have the outcome we wanted, but it was strange. So I think we're going to continue to make progress, and everyone in the investor group understands that. On the baseball side, we've talked about making progress, and on the business side, making continual progress with fans, with sponsorships, with every element. We've improved. I don't know, you know, it seems a long time ago we improved the fan experience. It's a truly extraordinary fan experience when you come to Marlins Park. I think I've been to many parks. I think it's a superior experience than you get in a lot of other arenas, stadiums, et cetera. And we just have to engage people to give it a shot. We've done everything with traffic issues. You see all the activity around the neighborhood and the construction, et cetera. So we're excited about Marlins Park. It is where it is. It's going to continue to gather more fans, and we'll continue to have success both on and off the field.
Well, it sure will be nice to get fans back in the ballpark this season, somewhere between 20 and 25% capacity, roughly, what, 7,000 to 8,000 people. But if 7,000 to 8,000 people come in this ballpark and they get rocking every night, it's going to add a lot of support for the nine guys on the field. It's going to be a lot of fun as we get back to a little bit of normalcy in 2021. In baseball, 162 games. It's the long grind. We'll get to the dog days of summer. But it'll be a little normalcy for 3 hours a night. We'll take a quick break. Coming up next, Marlins manager Don Mattingly. We'll give him a call. Hopefully he answers. So stay with us. That anticipation is building. A lot to get to with the Marlins manager, so stay tuned. You're listening to the Marlins Hot Stove Show, driven by AutoNation on 940 Wins and the iHeartRadio app.
The Miami Marlins Hot Stove Show with Kyle Seeloff, driven by AutoNation, is on 940 Wins, Miami Sports. It's only you,
you know that it's real. Welcome back to the Miami Marlins Hot Stove Show tonight, driven by AutoNation on 940 Wins in the iHeartRadio app. Hey, make sure you experience opening day live at Marlins Park with the opening day bundle. Starting at just $65, can't beat that deal. You can build your own bundle, get tickets to three games, including opening day in 2021, plus your choice of a Marlins cap, including floral options. Go ahead and visit marlins.com/bundle. Again, that is marlins.com/bundle. Tonight. Well, on the eve of spring training, it's a pleasure now to be joined live on the Marlins Hot Stove Show, driven by AutoNation, by Marlins manager Don Mattingly. He's always a joy to chat with. Donnie, it's great to have you on the show. How are you?
Doing good, Kyle. It's good to be back in some warm weather, some cold weather back north. So it's good to be down here in the good warm weather.
Yeah, no more snow blowing and no more shoveling up in Indiana. And it's 85 and sunny in South Florida. And spring training is about to get started, Donnie. And for you in Miami, it's spring training number 6. Does it feel like year 6 to you?
You know, I think I look at it almost two different pieces here in Miami. You know, since new ownership came in, and we're on year 4 here, I look at that as one section and then the other at the beginning kind of different. But it feels good. You know, I think last year was just a good feeling for our organization to, like, take a step forward after a couple of tough years. I think it was a shot in the arm for our guys. I think it was starting to highlight some of our younger players. I think we had good and bad. We've seen Sixto and Rogers and some different guys come up and do really well. We've seen some guys come up and struggle some, but I think that's part of the process. And it's going to be good for all of them in the long run.
I know we all miss baseball during the winter, and as fans, we get excited when spring training gets started. And then about 2 weeks into camp and 10 spring training games in, it's like, okay, when's this sucker going to start for real? But as a manager and as a member of an organization, to this day, do you still get that excited nervousness feeling when a new season begins?
Oh, yeah. Those first days of pitchers and catchers. And then the first day of the full workout is always something that you're excited about. And then you're right. As you get into it, it can get monotonous. I don't think it'd be quite as bad this year. You know, obviously they've cut the schedule down to 24 games. The time will be the same, but a little more time to get ready before the first game. Some days in there to be able to do what you want. Probably still play some games on those days. But it feels like it's going to be a little tighter window to get everybody ready.
It's amazing, Donnie. I was thinking before I called you, this time last year, everything was normal, right? And it feels like forever now since things have been normal and you guys went through so much last year and you enjoyed a lot of success in a very unusual season. And with so much uncertainty, how nice is it just to get back with the guys in camp?
No, it's good to get back. And I think, you know, what we'll be dealing with, obviously, to start this thing, and hopefully this will get better as the season goes on, where we can have more and more fans at games and you know, less, you know, of the protocols and things just looking a lot better. But it's good to get the guys back together. We've been through this once, so have a lot of other clubs. But I think we'll know what we're dealing with and what it's going to take to move forward in this obviously this division has gotten rough, rougher. And I think it's good for us. Black and blue is good for us because, you know, every night the teams that are playing each other in the East are going to be playing a really good team.
You know, I don't know, but I can imagine the stresses mentally and physically that all of you guys went through on the road last year. And to take that a step further in 2021, Donnie, and I was thinking about this, there is a commitment level and a buy-in process that you need from the top to the bottom in an organization, because if you don't get it, it's going to go off the rails. And now you guys have to do this for 7 to 8 months, 162 games, a full spring training. You only played 60 last year, but how do you handle all of this and keep the group together for a full season? And how much will you lean on that veteran leadership to keep the guys and basically say, hey, fellas, just continue to do the right thing. We got to do this.
Yeah, I think the 162 is definitely going to be a whole nother ballgame for us. The protocols do wear you down, the daily testing, the mask, as is the whole world, right? You get like fatigue of the COVID fatigue, right? You want to just be like, I don't want to do this anymore. But I think the team, again, that handles it best, and you have to take it seriously because you keep your team healthy. You know, as we start this thing, we got to think about keeping our guys healthy, because then we can have a full camp of work. Hopefully we get off to a good start, which puts you in a lot better position. You start getting your club with 10 guys with COVID down here, and all of a sudden you're fighting that. You can't get your work done. You're not prepared when the bell rings, and it can get you in a lot of trouble. So you got to get ready to go here, and you got to take it seriously.
I think you've got really good veteran leadership on the ball club, Donnie, and a lot of guys we've had an opportunity to watch now for a little while. How accountable do those guys have to be in keeping the rest of their teammates accountable? Because as a manager, I'm sure you don't want to be tapping guys on the shoulder every day and being like, hey, are you doing the right thing? Are we staying out of trouble and making sure we're doing this all correctly, right?
No, no doubt. Your club has to be accountable to each other. And as we went into it last year, and obviously it didn't go great at first, but you talk about protecting each other's family. Mm-hmm. And quite honestly, right? I mean, I really don't want to be dragging it home to Lori and Louie, you know, and I don't want to be the one giving it to somebody else, and Miggy's taking it home to his family.
Right.
So, you know, we have to be accountable because it's our family's welfare at the end of the day. I think guys understand that. It's just hard. You never know where you catch this virus. I mean, you can be as – obviously, we've seen all this, the damage that it did to so many people and families. And they don't want to get it either, right? And it's one of those things that's highly contagious. And we just got to be careful and do the best we possibly can.
You know, interesting, Donnie, and I was thinking about it. Everybody plays a 60-game season last year, and it was a lot to go through with the extra layers of everything and the protection, and understandably so, to keep guys on the field and keep people healthy. From the baseball perspective, heading into a 162-game season, and guys haven't done this now for 2 years, mentally and physically, it'll be taxing. It always is, even under the most perfect of conditions. How closely, as the manager, will you monitor guys this year? And do you anticipate having to give guys extra days off? Maybe you generally wouldn't in the middle of July if their bodies are tired.
Oh, no question. We're going to be monitoring. You know, obviously we had calls all through the winter. You talk about pitchers' innings and where we want to go with some of our young starters and what we're willing to do. We still work through those plans and have plans in place for that. But you watch that all the time, Kyle, honestly, like, a Brian Anderson playing every day. You can tell the days he gets mentally worn down. You're going to take care of all your guys. Over 162, you really have to make sure, you know, the new phrase is probably load management, right? Mm-hmm. How much are we going to, you know, tax these guys? And that's one of the things that you do watch. If a guy's getting beat up mentally, guys that play every day, you have to pay attention. To that, and I think our roster is going to be set to a point where we're going to be able to give guys days off and still put a good lineup out there.
Let's head to the mound, Donnie, before we talk about what's going on the offensive side of the baseball. There was a commitment and a priority in reinforcing the bullpen this offseason. I think you guys have done a really nice job of doing that. What kind of flexibility does that give you as a manager, and what kind of confidence boost should it give the entire ball club?
No, we've quietly did a really good job, I think. You know, we've kind of just kept sprinkling guys. You start with, you know, a Simber, then a Detweiler, and a Bass. And it just kind of kept going, right? And we've kind of just slowly kept picking up pieces. Dylan Floral just recently. So as, cause we had meetings today going through all, you know, going through like you do every year. And as we start getting through this into this bullpen, you start to see some depth there of quality. And it's not going to be that big, always that name that everybody recognizes, but there's going to be a lot of guys there that we feel like we're going to be able to trust, be able to lean on, that can take pressure off of each other out there and should take pressure off our starters. I'm looking forward to this bullpen. I thought we did a really nice job this winter of putting a diverse bullpen together.
And I mean, diverse, I mean, a lot of different looks, right? I mean, there's a lot of guys, look, they're going to throw 95 to 100 miles an hour. It's the game that we play today. But a Detweiler from the left side and Simber kind of comes from down below. I mean, that's intriguing, right?
Absolutely. Richard Blyer is right. A different look for lefties. We got a couple of guys out there, Bass and Floro, both gotten righties and lefties out. There's a number of looks with different stuff. Yimmy's a guy that can elevate, do some things. So, and then the other guys that we have probably fighting, Richard, you know, we talk about James Hoyt really from last year. How good was he? And this guy got big outs all year long. He's another guy out there. So that the bullpen is going to be full of different looks, and it's going to be, I think it's going to be good for us for sure. Obviously, we got to go show that on the field, but we're set up right now. Hopefully, get these guys ready and healthy as we break out of here. But we got a chance to have a bullpen that we can take pressure off of each other the whole season long.
Marlins manager Don Mattingly joining us on the Hot Stove Show, driven by AutoNation. Donnie, now the starting rotation. We saw glimpses of it in a 60-game season. These guys need to put it together for a full 162-game year. They're young. But boy, I mean, they show a lot of promise. There was an article earlier this morning. They might be the most underrated starting staff in baseball. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I've kind of watched these little articles that come out about top starting pitching, and I'm like, we're never in it. I'm like, huh. I mean, I don't think they paid much attention to Alcantara last year and Pablo Lopez, what Eliezer Hernandez was doing before he had the lat injury. And that's before we get to start talking about Sixto and the stuff that he has, Trevor Rogers, Nick Niedert, Castellanos, the job that he did. You know what? And I guess we should probably just be happy and stay under the radar and just go do our thing, because we're confident in our pitching. And if it stays healthy, we're going to give some teams fits. I promise you there won't be a lot of teams like coming into Miami or us coming into town going, oh, can't wait to see that pitching.
Right.
I mean, it's stuff. And when you start talking about like Sandy and Pablo and even Eliezer, you know, they've been around. It feels like they've been around forever now, right? And they're all 24 years old, 23 years old. So it's a young group with some experience under their belt now. And with this bullpen we put together, I feel like we have a chance to make some noise. We're going to have to pitch well to be in this race. And help those guys out. But if we stay healthy on the pitching side, we're going to give a lot of teams trouble.
And those are a lot of young guys, Donnie. But headed into a full season, and you love the bullpen, how imperative is it for some of these guys in year two and some of these young starters that are continuing to grow that they do go deeper into games? Even if they don't have their best game, they can soak up five innings, so you're not in the middle of 11 games in 12 days and you got to get six innings out of your bullpen on any given night.
Yeah, you'd love your guys to be able to, you know they're going to at least go five. And I think with obviously going from 60 to 162, you're going to be watching starters really closely. You don't want them jumping all of a sudden back to, you know, 215. You know, Sandy goes 199 2 years ago. This is a guy that you're not necessarily wanting him to, you know, in a normal time, you would be able to go from 190 or 199, 200 to 215, 220.
Right.
If he would pitch his way to that, you wouldn't do that now. So we're gonna have to watch these guys, but you do feel that it consistently keep you in the game, and that's the big thing. And then back to the bullpen, do you think you have enough depth out there that you're willing to go to there quicker, that keep you in the game, or keep you in a game that you're down maybe a run or two? And it can hold that right there and allow your offense to do something.
Hey, how difficult is it this year, especially, to map out innings? Because, look, it is a year of development, and it's an opportunity for a lot of guys to get better. But also at the major league level, the goal, most importantly, is the win and play into October. So when you and Mel and the entire staff have started to map this out a little bit, have there been challenges that have presented themselves given the uniqueness of what's kind of been going on?
Oh, well, definitely. And I'll go back. And I know the win is the most important. You talk about that. But really, from a manager standpoint and even a pitching coach, your number one concern is guys' health. And you want to take care of them first, right? And then they end up taking care of you or your organization. So we're going to watch their health. That's going to be the number one thing. We don't want to put any guys in danger, in any situation, whether they're throwing too many pitches or too many innings, whatever that would be. So we'll watch the health first, and there's just going to be challenges with that. I think that's going to be natural. That's why depth is going to be important to how we finish this thing.
Donnie, heading into the year, it does not look like there's going to be a designated hitter in the National League. Derek said as much yesterday and said as of yesterday, he's been informed there will be no DH. How does that impact the way you manage again? You go back to what you were doing 2 years ago, or is it old hat for you?
Well, I mean, you definitely have more challenges, with the National League rules. Obviously, watching pitchers, that extra bat in the lineup, the pitcher has to hit. You have to prepare them in spring training to hit. I really think it's unfair to the pitchers, honestly, to all of a sudden go back to hitting again. I feel like it's something that should have got worked out between the union and MLB. But that part's disappointing. But then you just have to go back and take your players and do the best you can and protect them again. With them having to get ready in spring training to hit again, it just changes how you have to play with the double switches. You can't just bring a pitcher in and leave him in there. You don't have a long guy that can go five innings. It's going to be a long guy in the National League is, two to maybe three innings. So it just changes what you have to do. A little bit of old hat. But it definitely changes how you have to manage a game.
I've always wondered this. During spring training, there's a lot of veteran guys, say a pitcher, that you know what to expect, and you don't probably have to keep a close eye on them. They're going to get their work in. Same for veteran players on the field, position players. But, Donnie, when we see you out there managing a game in spring training or watching a bullpen session or watching a sim game on the backfield, what are you looking for?
Well, if I'm watching a bullpen, we've had our meetings today, what this guy's pitches are and what they do, and I want to watch and see if the guy's locating these thrown strikes. Like if he can't throw strikes in his bullpen, you got a pretty good feeling he's not throwing strikes out on the game, or even in live BP. So you want to see if the guy can locate his pitches. If he's trying to throw a fastball away, is he right there, just missing his spot or hitting his spot? Is his breaking ball where he wants it to be? What do they all look like? So I'm watching that. I'm watching how they handle things in spring training. Watching a bullpen and then watching a guy pitch in the game are two different things, right? So watch what he looks like when he gets into competition. Does it speed up when there's a guy that can run on first base? Does that change his whole thing? Does it make him nervous? How does he pitch when he's in trouble, right? Does it look the same? His body language, all of those things that you look for are just things that you kind of have learned over the years to watch. And you see it in guys and what's going on with them.
Derek was mentioning yesterday that heading into spring training, nothing is given. You've got to earn everything, and there's going to be a lot of healthy competition this spring. In recent shows in the past couple of weeks, Donnie, I've just been throwing around the idea there's a lot of outfielders, right? And where do you find all these at-bats? But in a year of development and young kids that are going to get a chance, I would assume every single day to play, how do you handle that? Do you go up to a Lewin Diaz or a Jesus Sanchez and say, listen, I don't care if you're 0 for 4 tonight. You're back in the lineup tomorrow. You've got to focus on what you need to do to be successful in the major leagues. Don't look over your shoulder. It's not going to do you any good.
You try to have conversations like that periodically. You don't want to do that every day.
Right.
These guys they've been through a lot. And, they've played their way through the minor leagues, coming through the Dominican or wherever they've played. They've played a lot of baseball. So they know the situation they're in. You just have to keep an eye on their body language. And also I use Jesus Sanchez as an example of last year. We were willing to let him keep going,
But all of a sudden, you've seen his body language come and change. And it's like we knew at that point it was going to be destructive for him to stay there, right, and to get at bats. So you have to pay attention. You don't want a guy to get beat up to a point where he's just going, it may send him back 2 years. And Brent is another great example. You know, Lou was able to go through it, not have a lot of success, but always had a good look on his face.
Right.
And always came back in positive the next day and had his head up. He wasn't dragging around. And you knew he was getting through this okay, right? You know he had to struggle when he went home at night because you're still dealing with what if you're not doing well. But he kept a good face, right? And you know you can ride that longer. So you just pay attention to what's going on with guys. And the body language is so important. And what the at-bat looks like, not the, just the success, but what's the at-bat look like? You know, what's the pitch look like? And those are the things that, again, you kind of look for over time. You learn to look for certain things.
Donnie, my last one for you, and I've been itching to ask you this ever since I saw the news. Major League Baseball has said that the baseball this year, every 375 feet that it travels, it probably won't go an extra. It's like a 1 or 2 feet less that it would have carried. If I sit here and I'm like, well, if he hits at 415 and it goes 413, it's out of the ballpark. But as a hitter and a great hitter that you were, is that substantial? Is that 1 to 2 feet substantial?
I think it's probably, you know, I think what MLB will be looking to do is basically not have the ball just fly out of ballparks. You got to hit it to make it go, right? So the home run hitters are always going to hit their home runs.
Right.
I think what you don't want to see is broken bats flying, and you know, guy breaks his bat and the ball's flying out of the ballpark.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's going to be like incremental, be a little bit, a few less homers. And I think as this thing goes, then you're going to find out who's a home run hitter and who's not. And I think the fact that the ball's not traveling quite as far, it will slowly put the guy that can actually hit, you know, that's a better hitter, that can put the ball in play, is not striking out as much, brings more action back into the game. And I think that's the thing we've seen, Kyle. I mean, if you watch games, it's hard to watch when you don't see any action. And that's what baseball fans have complained about, the lack of action. The last 27 minutes that I was seeing the other day of the World Series last year, two balls were put into play. And that's not something you really want to watch, right? Watch the NBA game, nobody scores for 27 minutes. It's like going to be an awful game to watch. You want to see action. You want to see scoring, at least chances at scoring.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, and I know that if the action can pick up in the game, maybe it appeals to a few more folks. But, Donnie, thank you so much. I'm sure we'll be chatting with you. I suppose I'll see you on Zoom very soon, but thanks so much, and best of luck, and go get him this spring.
All right, Kyle. Good to talk to you, buddy.
All right, that was Marlins manager Don Mattingly. And just whenever I talk to him, it's one of the things I miss the most about not being able to be around the guys or near Donnie in the dugout every day. He is one of the best baseball people in the game to just pick his brain. He has so much knowledge of the game. It's just crazy. It's like stuff you don't think about that he sees during the game. And it's like what separates a fan like myself from watching and then, you know, a baseball guy like Donnie. But anyway, it's always a pleasure to chat with Donnie. We'll do it certainly more as the season rolls along, and hopefully we can clear this virus up and be back to normal soon and have a ball and hang out with Donnie again on a daily basis. But we'll take a quick break. When we come back, we started the show tonight. We had some sound from Bruce Sherman and Marlins CEO Derek Jeter. More with them when we come back. You're listening to the Miami Marlins Hot Stove Show, driven by AutoNation on 940 Wins in the iHeartRadio.
Miami Marlins Hot Stove Show with Kyle Seeloff, driven by AutoNation, is on 940 Wins, Miami Sports.
Oh, I like this tune. Welcome back to the Marlins Hot Stove Show, driven by AutoNation on 940 Wins in the iHeartRadio app. Hey, if you're ready to buy a car, don't forget, get New Year savings now at AutoNation. If you're ready to sell that car, AutoNation makes it as easy as ABC. Any AutoNation store, bring in your car, get a check on the spot. They're going to buy your car whether you buy theirs or not. Get a check on the spot in as fast as 30 minutes. You can turn it into cash right now. Sell your car fast at AutoNation. Visit AutoNation.com. We have got about 10 minutes left. Wanted to get back to some sound from Marlins CEO Derek Jeter from his annual preseason, pre-spring training media availability alongside Marlins principal owner Bruce Sherman yesterday afternoon. Earlier in the first segment, before we wrapped up the first segment of the show tonight, Bruce Sherman was asked about what he would define as success in year four. Well, Derek's turn. How would he define success this year?
You know, I get it. You know, when you're judging a baseball organization, it's basically judged on wins and losses at the major league level, right? I get it. That's fair. I get it from a baseball side. That's fair. But, you know, we want to continue to grow this organization from the minor leagues on up. And how would I define success for us this year from a baseball standpoint is our guys need to play. They need to compete. You play baseball every single day for a reason. And we had a large majority of our organization miss an entire season, which is you don't get that year back. You know, you run out of years at some point. So success for us from a baseball standpoint is to make sure that our guys get a full season in and get their experience. And those are, you know, good streaks, bad streaks, all of it is experience. So I'd say for us, it's just getting back to the normal of playing games every day.
Well, no question. This year will be about development, but like Derek said at the outset of that piece, it is gauged upon wins and losses at the major league level. And do fans want to see a 62-win team? Nope. They want to see a team that goes to the playoffs like the Marlins did last year, which begged the question, how will the Marlins organization, Derek answered this, how will they continue to gain the trust of the fan base?
Well, I think it starts with, you know, we wouldn't have put together an ownership group and purchased the organization if we didn't feel as though Miami was a baseball town. If we didn't feel as though the fans ultimately would come out and support the team. Now, we also understand that that takes a little bit of time. And, you know, to Bruce's point, and what I said earlier too, it's unfortunate that we didn't have an opportunity to let the fans in last season so we can just see firsthand how much excitement was in the community here. But just from my own personal experience with being out and about in a limited capacity, and let me say that once again, in a limited capacity, you can hear some of the excitement. But look, it takes time. It does take time. I wish we would average 37,000 fans this year, right? But we understand that it's going to take some time. And I think you talk about sustainable success on the field, off the field. We have to prove it. And I think we've made some great strides forward, but we have a long way to go, and we'll continue to try to earn the trust of the fan base. And that's really the only way that we're going to be able to find out if we just continue to, you know, keep all of our promises.
Well, you gain that trust by winning and doing all the right things. That's certainly what the organization has done as they head into year four. And as we wrap up, boy, oh boy, the National League East, let's sit back and relax and grab your popcorn. This is going to be a lot of fun in 2021. Derek was asked if how much of this season will be a litmus test in the division to gauge where they're at as an organization.
Yeah, of course. Of course. We have a tough division. It's no secret. You know, you look at you know, like you said, what teams have done in the offseason in terms of players that they've added. And then, look, Atlanta has been top of the division for the last few years. So, look, we know how difficult our division is. But if you want to be the best, you're going to have to ultimately beat the best, right? And you have to enjoy that competition. So, you know, our guys don't shy away from competition. They don't. And I think they showed that last year. I don't care if it was 60 games, 20 games, or 10 games. You know, our guys showed that they were willing to go out there to compete, and they'll continue to do that. But yeah, it's no secret how good our division is. But the bottom line is you have to play the games on the field. So we'll see what happens.
A postseason berth in 2020. Can they do it again in 2021? We'll have to wait and find out. One final break. We'll wrap things up when we come back right here on the Marlins Hot Stove Show, driven by AutoNation on 940 Wins in the iHeartRadio app.
The Miami Marlins Hot Stove Show with Kyle Seeloff, driven by AutoNation, is on 940 Wins, Miami Sports.
Hey, welcome back to the Marlins Hot Stove Show tonight, driven by AutoNation on 940 Wins in the iHeartRadio app. We got to get going, but I just wanted to say thank you, thank you, thank you to all of those who have joined us over the course of the winter. But we're out of here. because baseball starts on Thursday. We plan to be with you all spring long. So for Chris Holly and Kyle Seeloff, saying so long and good night. Thanks for listening to the Marlins Hot Stove Show, driven by Auto Nation on 940 Winds and the iHeartRadio app.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.